Mark has figured out something he's passionate about, that God's gifted him in, that he's been able to start serving people at here at Maywood. So tell us a little bit about how you figured out how to be a part of the team.
Well, first off, it was Lord revealing his plan for me, and then me accepting it and being obedient enough to do what he wants me to do. A lot of that started in flight training when I went through the class last year, and I had a great teacher in that class, and Jake, he kept pushing us. He pushed us to be all we could be for God. And so I know in my past life I would push myself to be not good things, so I figured that it was time to change. And through flight training, you know, it gave me an opportunity to change and be a better person in life.
Awesome, Mark. And I know I rushed you up here, sorry, man. But so going through flight training, as you're coming out of it, you were trying to pray and figure out how does God want to use me next? And
right.
You had worked at some retirement homes earlier on in life, and I could see you had this ability to talk with folks and help them feel valued. And so we landed on starting to do hospital visits together, started to visit some retirement homes together. And how did that go?
Well, great. It's going great. I asked God that before flight training was over, don't let me come to a T in the road to where I don't know which way to go. I know we make, a lot of people make that mistake, and they don't know, you know, what God wants for them because they don't seek it out. They don't get in communion, solitude with God and ask what he wants for them to do. And so I did that a lot last year. Solitude was my friend. I learned so much in being obedient to God and just sitting in quiet time and listening for what he wanted for me. I hear people say, I pray. We need to just listen. Sit quiet in the spirit and listen to what God has for us. So anyway, I have a passion for, I worked in a lot of retirement facilities, and I have a heart for the elderly and the sick people. So I knew it was God's desire for me to seek something out and want to go and minister to people that are sick in the hospital and that are in the nursing homes, because they're really lonely. They're very lonely in there, and I just thank God that he chose me to be one of those disciples.
Yeah, so Mark and I have started doing visits together, but we're on this track where Mark's about to be kind of released off on his own, and he's already got somebody in mind to be his next apprentice. And it's this great model of, you know, I get to train Mark, but then now Mark gets to train somebody else in that same ministry. And so I've really, really encouraged Mark to see you doing great things.
It's just awesome, Pastor Jake, and I just thank God for loving me, okay? Just giving me a chance and an opportunity in life to do his will, not mine.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark. Mark's a great example of that Ephesians 4 passage that we're always talking about with our vision, of God gives everybody who follows him a gift, and the role of a leader is to equip people in their gifts. And so if you haven't spent time alone like Mark was talking about with God, or spent time here at Maywood trying to figure out how do you fit on the team, try to be working through that like Mark did. Find somebody who can mentor you in something and hand you off to be doing some service here at Maywood. So let me pray as we get into worship. God, I thank you how much you love us. I thank you that you give us the gifts that we need to honor you. And I pray for many, many more Marks, God, that many more of us to be called into specific roles to serve you, to be equipped here at Maywood. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
So Jake and I are going to put up for you a blueprint. Last week I told you all that last week I celebrated 50 years being a preacher. Amen. Thank you. So I have read a lot of books in 50 years. And there's probably a top 10. The book that Jake uses in flight training happens to be in that top 10, which is Celebration of Discipline. And those of you who have been through flight training know how challenging, on one hand, that book is, and also how life-changing it is. The book that I'd like to reference is called Experiencing God, and it's by Henry Blackaby. So this is a diagram of experiencing God. And you can Google experiencing God, go to images, and you can pull up that image just like I did. And I would really encourage you at some time to do that if you're not familiar with this, and really spend some time meditating and praying about it. Obviously, if you get the material and you study it and you work with it, you're much better off for that. Henry Blackaby is probably one of the more influential people in my life, and I have a few stories to talk about how he has with his teaching and also hearing him speak has done that. But I just really ask you to think about this as a blueprint. Now, there's some small print that may be hard for you to see. So we're going to take you through this, and we're going to talk about how this applies individually for you as a person, and then also for us as a church. So the first thing that you have up there is that God's at work in the world. And that is such good news. What is happening in your life is not that one day you got a good idea and thought, hey, I think I'll go to church and become a servant of God, all right? What you're doing is actually, it is a part of God's activity in the world. If you look at the chaos of this world, which is a pretty chaotic place, if you look at the chaos, you need to remind yourself, God is still at work in the world. And so I'm going to ask Jake to kind of chime in and tell us, where do you think God's at work around here?
Well, and you guys, if you look around this room, I think we can see his fingerprints all over the place. How many of you can look around the room and see a bunch of examples of somebody who was broken, and then God took a hold of them, and now they're building something with God here in Independence, right? I mean, we just see it all over at Maywood, and we want to see it all over in all the churches of Independence, all throughout Independence. So that's the business that God's in, is he takes people who are destroying things by themselves, and he says, come and work on something good with me. He invites us into that, which invitations are.
All right. So the first thing is God's at work in the world. And if you can see that God's at work in the world, you can rest knowing that God's at work. And if you are set in his place, if you are connected with him, I'm getting to the end of the sermon, Jake, but if you're connected with him, you're in the best place possible. One man who lived a very daring life, and sometimes a life that could cause him to have life-threatening life, he said, I am invincible as long as I am in God's will. And you are in good care as long as you're walking in the midst of his work in the world. Now, I got ahead of myself, so let's back up and let's look at that next thing. God calls us into a personal relationship with himself. I am not a great student of world religions. My idea was to master Jesus, and I didn't need to hear about all those other isms in the world. So I'm not a great student of world religions. But to the best of my knowledge, Christianity is the only religion, actually Judaism and Christianity, the only religions that talk about God being personal. What do we mean by that? We mean that God comes to us, and I'm going to pretend to be God, and God reaches out his hand to us, first of all, to take us by the hand. He is reaching out to us today. You did not wake up this morning and say, hey, I think I'll go to church. God stirred you to be here, and God is through us reaching out to you saying, come with me, come walk with me. Last week I shared a piece of my testimony, and what happened when I got there had nothing to do too much with me. It had everything to do with God. God was reaching out to me. That's what he does. So let's use an illustration of Moses. God reached out to Moses by causing a bush to catch on fire. So here's a bush that's on fire, but it doesn't burn out. And Moses says, uh-oh, something's up here. And so let's read the dialogue here. So when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Let's stop for a minute. Y'all see how personal God is? God knows Moses' name. And God calls to him by name. Please hear me today. He knows your name. Cheyenne, he knows you. And that's right. So I'm going to pick on Cheyenne since she was on my case a second ago. He knew you when you were a child. He knew you when you were a teenager. He has known you before you were ever born. And he knows the hopes that you have and the dreams that you have and the desires that you have. He knows all about you because he is personally involved in your life. And that's true for everybody here. I just want to pick on her. He knows you. Amen. And it's huge. And so God calls us by name. Let that sink into your heart. Let that be a part of your life, okay? So he called him by name, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here I am. And that's another, I want to stop for a second and just stop on that. God may be drawing you to yourself, to himself, but if you're not being open to him, Moses was open. So God was calling Moses, and Moses said, here I am. If you will just give God a little bit of that openness, that opens the door for God to come and to work with you. And so there are times in my life when I stiff-arm God. He's calling me, and I say, I'm not interested today. You know, you kind of hang out in heaven, and I'll take care of stuff on earth because I think I know better than you. Right? I'm the only one here like that. And so there are times when we do that. So there is an openness. When we're open to God, then he is able to do more in us. So let's go ahead and read this out. So he says, don't come closer. Take your sandals off. The place where you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses responded by saying he hid his face because he knew he was in the presence of God. And there are moments where if God speaks to you and you say, God, here I am, and you're willing to take the next steps with him, you will be in moments like that where you know you're on holy ground. And that's God's plan for you. But that's not his plan to end with you. Henry Blackaby had a great quote in one of the lessons I learned from him. He said, when you meet with God, it's not like you reach in your pocket and you pull out something warm and fuzzy and you feel good. When God speaks to you, hear this please. When God speaks to you, he invites you to join him in his work. First step is God's at work in the world. God brings us into a personal relationship. And then God, he meets with us to invite us to do something with him. So, Jake, why don't you talk about that invitation?
Yeah. So God invites us into a relationship with him. And a lot of us, when we first start with Jesus, we're at this point of we have problems. And we want to hand those problems off to God. God, I've got a couple things in my life I want you to fix. And that's okay. We all need to be at the spot where we say, God, I need your help. That's a first step with Jesus we have to keep taking over and over. God, I need your help. A lot of us, the problem is a lot of us think, God, you're going to save me by taking some bad stuff out of my life. And we think that's what being saved is. The only way that Jesus brings salvation to people is in this little illustration here. He gives this invitation to everybody, come and follow me. Come and go to the places where I go, do the things that I do, say the things that I say, have the relationship with God that I have. It's this very, very high calling to all of us. In John chapter 20, Jesus says to his disciples, I'm going to send you the same way that God sent me. A lot of us just want to get sober, or we just want to not be a jerk, or we just want to have some little thing. And Jesus says, I want to make you into a daughter of God or into a son of God. And when we hear this idea of following Jesus, you might think, like, what does that mean? I can remember Mia Snow, who's in the middle right here. Remember 6 or 7 years ago, we were talking about following Jesus. She's like, what does that mean? We were in a Sunday school class up in room 300. She was a teenager. And I said, when you're in a car, because she's around driving age, when you're in a car and you follow somebody, what do? You just, if they turn left, you turn left. If they turn right, you turn right. If they speed up, you speed up. You know, that's what following somebody is. That's the same thing with Jesus. You just watch Jesus. You read about him. You listen to him. And then you just do the same things that you see him doing, the same things that he's telling you to do. That's the invitation to us, is come and be like Jesus.
Nobody has permission to go to sleep during this. The greatest being in the world has called you by name. And he says, I want to walk with you, Mike Sanders. And I want you to have the privilege of following me. A lot of people in here have a sponsor, and you take direction from your sponsor. The greatest sponsor of all has direction for you. And he says, walk behind me. You can't lose on that. That's his invitation, all right? Now, when we walk with him, what he does is he speaks to us and he calls us to stuff and he gives to us a God-sized vision. So let's put that slide up there. And he invites us, and this is where Jake was hinting a moment ago, that invitation is not just I've got my hands open, I need something from God, but rather God wants to take us by the hand and lead us into something. So Jake, why don't you spend some time talking about that?
Yeah, so the thing about a God-sized vision is it's not something you can pull off on your own. If you feel capable to handle today, Sunday, October 14th, then you're not living in a God-sized vision. If there wasn't a point today where you thought, like, I can't do this. God, I need your help. Like, if that hasn't come through your heart today, then you're not living out a God-sized vision. The stuff that Moses gets called to do, if you read that whole passage, he's worried about the very first step. I mean, he's afraid of the very first step, and God lays out a whole bunch of really hard stuff. And he's like, I don't think I can even get the Israelites to respect me. I mean, that's his first concern. God-sized visions require more than what we could do on our own. They're way bigger than we would ever shoot for on our own. And when you hear them, you think like, well, that's, you can't do something like that if you hear someone share a God-sized vision. So what's Maywood's God-sized vision? Well, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Ephesians 4, 7 through 13, whenever the leaders at Maywood get together, we read these passages every time because this is all we're trying to do. If we can do these two things well, I believe Jesus will say, Maywood, you've been faithful with what I've given you. Obviously, we want to obey the whole Bible, but he's laid these two passages on our heart. What do they say? Matthew 28, great commission to everybody. Jesus says at the end of his time here on earth, right before going to heaven, he says, I've got a mission for everybody who calls themselves a follower of me. Here's what you're supposed to be about. You're supposed to reproduce disciples. He defines what a disciple is. He says, somebody who's baptized into me, into the name of Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, and somebody that obeys everything that I've taught, that we're teaching them to do that. So here's what that pushes on each and every one of us, is are you putting into other people in action the things that God has put into you? We sang that song, that second song ended with a little pitcher of wheat, and it said, like, the seed that's been sown in me, I'll sown into other people, or something kind of confusing like that. It was saying, whatever good God has put in me, I'm going to plant that in other people. So when Mark talks about flight training and how it's having an impact on him, somebody took me through flight training, and it had an impact on me. And so then I put that same thing into Mark, and it's having an impact on him. That's what disciple-making is about. So think for yourself. What has God put in your life? If God gave you something about parenting, are you putting that in someone else to help them parent? If God gave you something about freedom, are you helping somebody else break out of bondage? You should be reproducing what God has put in you. The Ephesians passage fits right in with it. It says that if you're a leader at the church, you've got one mission. Your mission is to equip other people to use their gifts. So we're wanting everything at Maywood to fit these two things. It's what Maywood's all about. If you're here today, we want it to be what you're all about. Like, we want to actively charge after these two things. We're not going to always do it perfect. We're going to fail at times. But this is the mark that we're shooting for. And we want to invite you guys into it. We all want to go there together.
Amen. So think about it. God knows your name. God's at work in the world. God calls you to live with him. And while you're living with him, He is going to invite you into his work. And it will look like the gifts that he has put in you. So don't give me a guitar and ask me to sing. All right? But you can give me a microphone and ask me to preach. All right? And we can go on and on with that kind of dialogue. All right? So God personally wants to live with you. God invites you. God calls you and us to a God-sized vision. I believe there are individual God-sized visions for everyone here. And I could talk about some that I've had. And they were only able to be done by God. And so just really quickly, going back, way back in time, I pastored a little country church. I was 19, 20, and 21 when I was the pastor of this little church. And there was a man on a Sunday who met Jesus, and it was absolutely glorious that he met the Lord. He was an older man. Less than 2 weeks later, I got a phone call at my parents' house. I was still living at home. He was being rushed to the hospital, which was literally two blocks up the street from where we lived. And so instead of driving my car up there, I walked up there, and all the way up, I said, "Oh God, I can't do this. You've got to do it." And I was there when the ambulance pulled in, and I looked at him, and I knew he was dead just the second they pulled him by me. His wife and daughters came in, and I had to tell wife and daughter that the one they loved had died. I'm 21, maybe 20 at that time, scared to death. That is a God-sized thing for me to do. And yet the Holy Spirit made everything work perfectly. Those are the kind of things individually we have, but then corporately as a group. So you'll have your different things. I hope you don't have to tell people that their loved one has died. But as a group, we have things to do. They're God-sized. Here's what I believe. I believe God has put you in his work and in his life because there is a world outside these four walls that needs what you have. And I believe God has called us, and Jake, you said it a moment ago, there are other churches here, but God has called us to be out there bringing people to Christ to experience what you've experienced. We have a lot of people who have a lot of life with God, and we are not going to hide the light that God has put in us where nobody else can see it, but rather we're going to take it out and let it shine. That's God-sized. And it takes God's power to do that, okay? So with that in mind, let's look at the next one slide here, Jake. And that is, when God calls us, there is a crisis. Me, Moses, you talked about Moses. Moses had all sorts of, "God, you mean you're calling me?" Those sort of things. And there have been things along the last 50 years that I've had that, "Oh man, God, this is really big. If you don't show up, I'm in trouble." You know, lots of those kind of experiences and times. And so as we think about that crisis of God comes to us and we've got to figure out, okay, Lord, are we going to follow you? What are some of the things you'd have to say about that, Jake?
Yeah, with the crisis moment, it's because life is real. And you don't always know the end of the stories. A lot of times we read these Bible stories and we think, well, of course the right thing is to follow what God told you and do it. But if you put yourself in those people's shoes with what they're facing and all the self-doubt they probably were going through, you realize it's not so easy. And that's why the Bible's full of a lot of failures as well as successes. And real life is full of a lot of failures as well as successes. People get up to this threshold moment of, I've had a big experience with God. I see this big thing he wants to do, but I'm scared, and I don't think I can do it, or I don't think God's really talking to me, or I really want to chase after this other shiny thing. And people are looking sometimes for an excuse to back away from that crisis moment. Because if they don't back away, to jump into our next piece here, the adjustment piece, if you don't back away, you got to make real changes. Adjustment is a pretty soft word for what God wants to come in and do in your life. I mean, like, Eric would say nothing changes if nothing changes. You know, like, if you don't do something different, then you're going to be the same person. And if God hasn't been parting Red Seas and doing crazy miracles through you in Western Independence, then maybe something needs to change in your life to let God flow through more. So what needs to change? So you got to think through that. As a church, we've been thinking through it. Bob and I, Justin and Wayne, Gabby and was talking in the announcements. This team, this listening team, we've been praying about what should the structure of May would be. Because we know where you spend your time, who you're with, how you spend your money. Those things affect who you are. And as a church, we've got this certain structure that's done a lot of good things, and we could just keep it going. But our goal is to always be as faithful as we can be to those two vision passages. So this worship coach stuff that we're talking about, it's going to change to try to have a new culture of worship that's all about developing folks, not just even for within the four walls, but out and using their gifts out in the community. We have to have something new to pull that off. The team captains is about taking the ceiling off of where people can go. How far can we develop people? We don't want any limits on that. We want to develop people as far as we can, because we believe if we're faithful with the gifted people that Jesus gives us, that Jesus will bring us more. But we believe if we think like, well, we got them good enough, we're just going to leave them there, then Jesus isn't going to send us more. Well, next week we'll get into all those details of structure, but here's a question for you to face this week. I mean, Maywood is far from perfect. I'm messed up. Bob has some issues, you know.
Bob is more messed up than Jake.
So I'm not going to throw him under the bus, but just, we're not perfect, you know. Maywood's not perfect, but we're taking a hard look at ourselves saying, well, how can we change to be more faithful to Jesus? And if we have changes to make, the truth is each of us in this room have changes to make. If you look at how you spend, how you structure your life, who you're with, who you think is important, where you spend your best time, where you spend your money, if you look at that stuff, and then you look at God's word and what he's been revealing to you, I bet you could see like, wow, if I made this change, I could be more faithful to Jesus. If I made this adjustment, then I could get to, I mean, this big loop here at the bottom, it's a process. What we really want to get to is the obeying, so we get the experiences with Jesus. Obeying is not about earning something with Jesus. It's about being next to him when things happen, okay? You got to obey to have Jesus fully inside of you. If you're not obeying, you're running away from him, and so you can't have these powerful experiences.
Amen. So in 50 years, can you imagine how many sermons I have preached? Baptist preachers used to preach three times a week, and we got it down to one, thank God. But we used to have three times a week for years and years and years. And I can't tell you the number of church services I've been in. Most of my change has not happened preaching or listening to sermons. Most of my change has taken place when I met with God personally. And in the midst of praying and talking to him, he was able to get a hold of me. And I would so encourage you to take what we've talked about and to say, God, you and I are going to meet. Lord, I want to have that personal relationship with you. I mean, that is the greatest offer in the world. You know, I'm an old NBA fan, and if Michael Jordan called me up today and said, Bob, I'm going to send my private jet to you, and I'd like to have dinner with you tonight, I'm in. All right? And then you'd hear about it until I died. All right? So the guy that made Michael Jordan, who happens to be better than Michael Jordan at everything, said, Bob, I'd like to meet with you tonight. I don't have time. I'm going to watch the Chiefs. I'll catch you later. No. And by the way, well, let's watch the Chiefs, but let's talk to him today. Let's visit with him. Meet with him. All right? Let's talk to him. And then when he speaks to us, let's say yes. One of Henry Blackaby's greatest quotes was this: you can't go where God is and stay where you are. And so, amen. So, God, I'm going to meet with you, and then you speak to me. I can't wait for next Sunday. Y'all come next Sunday. I can't wait till January, because January we're going to have team captains. We're going to be on the ball, hopefully with a new worship coach and so on and so on. I can't wait for some of that. I think it's going to be tremendous. But it takes us to walk through that crisis of faith, adjustment, and in seeing what God is up to. So we're going to have a time of responding to what God's saying to us. If you need to have that relationship with the Lord, get it started right now. If you need to make an appointment with God and say, Lord, I'm coming to meet with you, make that appointment and keep that appointment, meet with him. Derek and Sienna are going to head up this way, and I'm going to lead us in prayer, and we'll have a bunch of folks down here who'd love to pray with you. Why don't you stand with me, please? Lord, we thank you for your grace and your kindness and your love and all of your help, and we invite you now to come do what you do best. Meet with us and call us out to do your will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.